Have you ever wondered, is heaven a real place? Is it some fairy tale land? Is it some fantasy world? Is it pie in the sky, by and by? In today's episode, in an amazing piece of Christian art, we'll explore what heaven is really like. Welcome to The Master's Brush, a series of programs focusing on Christian art with Nathan Green and the impact of that art on people's lives. Nathan, the picture that we're looking at today is called The Lion and the Lamb. Did you pose a real lion for this picture?
I don't know if I have that much courage, but no. I found a photograph that a Time Life photographer had taken many years before, and I found out that he had passed away when I inquired about who took this picture. His wife gave me permission to use it. But it was not an ideal photograph. The pose was perfect for what I was looking for, but the paws were cropped off. It was in shade under a tree. There were flies on the lion's face. So I had to really work with it to get it, you know, to the way I wanted it. For example, the paws, I studied other lions' paws, pictures of them. But I also studied our own cat's paws, which ironically, they're very similar. They're just on a different scale.
How much research goes into a painting like this? You mentioned looking at the lion. Mm-hmm. I noticed that there are other elements in the picture, like a butterfly, for example.
Yes. Well, you know, when I was a boy, I loved nature. My brother Ken and I used to go out and take hikes, long hikes sometimes Sunday afternoon, and we'd bring back specimens. We brought back bones to, my mother was horrified, you know, we'd bring back bones and tried to assemble them on the picnic table outside. But we also brought back butterflies. We collected them. In fact, I still have my butterfly collection. The tiger swallowtail in here is one that I captured when I was a kid. In fact, we have it here with us. I took it out of the case and held it while I painted that butterfly.
So this is one of your butterfly collections from how many years ago?
Oh, I probably was 12 years old, 13 maybe.
And when you painted the butterfly, you took this actually out and looked at it as your design.
I did. I was a little worried. It was brittle, I'm sure, but it held together, and yeah.
And what about the lamb?
The lamb, you know, my father-in-law is a sheep farmer. He raises Suffolk sheep up in central Michigan, and this was a lamb from his farm. When they're young, they're very cute.
As I look at your paintings, particularly when you have multiple children, you tend to put a lot of children of a variety of ethnic backgrounds. There's a lot of diversity in the painting.
Yeah.
What's the intentional message or unintentional message behind that?
Well, of course, this is a depiction of heaven. And heaven is not something exclusively for whites or anyone else. It's for everyone. And I believe God loves the diversity throughout the world. And so I wanted to show that diversity in this painting and many others that I've done.
In the world that we live in, where there's conflict between nations and nationalities and ethnic groups, where we live in a world of terrorist bombings and varied ideologies and where religious factions battle,
yeah.
A painting like this communicates a message of people living together in unity and harmony in a place called heaven.
Yeah.
How was this painting commissioned?
This was actually commissioned by a businessman. I believe he's a friend of yours, actually.
He is.
Yeah. He owned retirement homes, and I think the initial idea was that, you know, older people like to watch children. They like to watch them play. It brings back memories of their own lives raising children. So it brings them pleasure. But I think he hung it in his home for many years.
You know, this friend of mine developed cancer when he was in his 60s, mm-hmm. and he died of cancer, and I've talked to his children,
yes.
and art brought him a great sense of satisfaction and peace and calmness,
yeah.
And during the days when of his death, as this painting was hanging in his home, mm-hmm. it gave him great encouragement and great hope as mm-hmm. he looked at it and as his eyes were drawn to Christ. You know, as I look at the painting, my eyes seem to be drawn to the central figure in the painting
yes.
of Jesus. Is that intentional? What kind of subtle things do you do as an artist to sure. draw our attention to the center of the painting?
Sure. Well, this is going back to art school. One of the things we were trained to do is to create a center of interest. And your job as an artist is to draw the viewer's eye throughout the composition and to come to that center of interest. So everything about this painting is designed to do that. The center of interest here, of course, is that space between the lion's face and the little boy that's about to touch the lion, about being encouraged by Jesus to pet the lion. And to draw the viewer's eye there, everything, like the wedge of the trees points to it, the clouds sweep down to it, everybody is looking that direction. Even the little lamb is leaning that direction. And even the tail of the lion is bending back around and pointing you to that center of interest.
So the entire painting focuses on Jesus as the center of interest.
Yes.
And you know, that's what heaven's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will be the center of interest.
Yeah.
His love, his care, his concern for us. You know, I'm kind of fascinated, too, with the different looks on the children's faces.
Yes.
One child looks with wonder. Another child looks with curiosity.
Yes.
How do you determine what to do with the children's faces?
Well, I do photo shoots with each model for each child, and I may take several hundred pictures of each child, but I'm looking for a special expression that seems, in my mind, to fit the need. Some of them I wanted to have just not fear necessarily, but a little bit of caution still. I mean, they brought their whole lives to this point. Is they've been taught, you know, you don't touch this king of the beast that might bite your hand off, you know. So there's a little, but Jesus is there, and he's saying, go ahead, pet him. He's not going to hurt you, you know.
When I look at that wonder, that curiosity on the face of a child, mm-hmm. it does really communicate heaven in a special way.
Yeah.
Another thing about the painting that to me is quite interesting mm-hmm. is that grass doesn't look like the green, the brightness of the green and the grass doesn't look like any grass here on earth.
Yes, well, it doesn't look like the grass in my yard, I can assure you. I've struggled for years to keep it looking good, but green is a color that, as an artist, I tend to shy away from because it's so hard to control. It's such an intense color. If I were painting a depiction of a landscape on earth, I would neutralize it quite a bit by its complement. But this is heaven. And I wanted to portray it as bright and intense and colorful as possible because I think heaven's going to be beyond our wildest imaginations.
What was the major thought in your mind as you painted this picture? What idea, what thought about heaven, what concept about heaven did you want children to go away with when they looked at it, or adults?
I think that I deliberately had in mind that I wanted to create a scene that was so real, and so vivid, and so appealing that anyone who looked at this would desire with all their heart to be there, to be in heaven, and to make it their goal, their main goal in life. And the children especially. You know, we hung a print of this over the crib of our children's bed, and my son used to look at it all the time, you know. And I think this has created a lifelong impression that he'll never forget.
Nathan, if this is heaven, mm-hmm. why don't the children have white robes and angel wings, and why aren't they like little cherubs?
Well, you know, I want children here and now to identify themselves as being there. And I think by having clothing like they might wear, it makes it more relatable to them.
Nathan Green's art reveals a heaven that is real, not a fantasy world, not a world of make-believe, not a world of clouds with ethereal beings. But as we look at that picture, we can identify with this land of peace, with this Christ who's so compassionate. As our children look at it, they can identify with heaven, and it becomes indelibly imprinted upon their minds, and within their hearts, there's a longing to go there. Right after the break, we're going to come back and talk about the reality of heaven. Stay with us. A number of years ago, a survey was taken asking people on the street, what is heaven really like? And Nathan, the responses to that survey were quite amazing. One man said, heaven? Are you kidding me? That's fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said, heaven, that's my Lexus in my mansion on the hillside. Yeah. It's my home. Yeah. Somebody else said, well, heaven, that is for people who are weak-minded. There is no substance to that idea. When we die, we die. Mm-hmm. A couple teenagers said, what are you kidding, man? And when we looked at that survey, and I actually looked at the results of the survey, people didn't seem to think that heaven was real at all.
Yeah.
As a Christian artist, you've attempted to counteract that idea.
Yes. Well, you know, the Bible describes heaven, and I believe what it says when it says that the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and that we'll be able to plant vineyards. And, you know, even John 3:16, God says, I've prepared a place for you, and if it were not so, I would have told you, you know. It's real. I believe it.
Heaven is real. And when you look at the great promise of God in the third chapter of the book of John, Jesus says, I'm going to give you eternal, everlasting life.
Yes.
And then when he talks in John 14 about mansions, mm-hmm. they're real. This
yeah.
is something that is not make-believe, not
yeah.
pie in the sky, by and by, but it's something that's tangible. And if you can give people the hope of a very tangible heaven,
yes.
it will inspire them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Any inspiring stories about this painting?
You know, I've talked to many people who've told me well, they really love this painting, but one story that really appealed to me is that I heard that this print and another one were donated to an orphanage in Asia, and I thought that was great, you know, really neat, but they sent me a picture of all the children gathered around those two prints that had been framed, and they also sent me a little book. All the children prepared a drawing, each of them, of what they thought heaven would be like. And that really touched my heart.
Think about thousands of children, many of them in orphanages,
mm-hmm.
many of them who've given up hope in their lives,
yes.
wondering what their futures hold, looking at a painting like this and thinking about eternity and Jesus. It must give you great satisfaction as a Christian artist.
It really does. You know, many of the things I do have been art just for aesthetic purposes or for other, you know, secular publishers. But when I can do something that has the potential to influence somebody for eternity, that gives me, there's no greater satisfaction than that.
Pastor Dwight Nelson, pastor of the Pioneer Memorial Church here at Andrews University, the University Church, has been really impacted in his own life with this painting, The Lion and the Lamb. And its impact, he's seen its impact on many of his church members, particularly young people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let Dwight tell a little bit about the painting.
Okay.
I had the privilege of inviting Nathan Green to come and join me one Sabbath in front of the Pioneer Memorial Church. There on the platform, we arranged some of his paintings, particularly the ones dealing with heaven. There's something about Nathan's gift that takes this ethereal reality that we read about in Scripture and translates it into bright living color so that we can picture it. Now I understand what the Scripture says. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We cannot conceive of what heaven is. And yet heaven's a real place. And Nathan has captured that. And one of the paintings is entitled Lion and Lamb. You have Jesus and the children and this big king of the forest. We actually took that painting and we have it down at the foot of the stairs, again leading to the children's divisions. What's the big deal about heaven? It's the hope we have. If there is nothing tangible to the hope of a Christian, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we of all people should be pitied. There's something beyond this life, even beyond resurrection. It's moving in with God at the headquarters of the universe in a spectacular, breathtaking panorama called heaven. And so Nathan has done numerous paintings on heaven. Another one he's done is The Lord God Made Them All, which is, I love that Hawaii scene because you're half above water and half underwater, and here are all these sea creatures as well. Paradise. I was just in Hawaii a few days ago, and the stewardess on the plane says, welcome to paradise. And I'm thinking to myself, this may be paradise, but this is nothing like what we're going to see one day. And thanks to Nathan's colorful creativity, we get to be reminded it isn't just pie in the sky. It's a real home that Jesus is preparing for his friends. And I say hallelujah to that.
The Lion and the Lamb pictures real children in heaven in a real place. Nathan, talk a little bit about the models that you've used for this painting.
Yes.
I noticed, isn't one of them one of your children?
Yes. Actually, today he's turning 20, but at the time I did this painting, he was 5. And it's my son Tommy, my older son. He's the boy, the blonde-haired, the towhead boy on the far left. But there's someone else in here that you might be surprised to know about. My wife is in this painting.
Well, there's children. I don't see her there.
Well, we married very young, you know. No, actually, the little girl holding that gray kitten is my wife when she was a little girl. We had this picture of her hanging on our refrigerator, and she grew up on a farm, so she was always with animals of one kind or another. The trouble is, she was blonde at that time. Now she's brunette, but I actually photographed another girl, a little Hispanic girl, and put her head on my wife's body. So sometimes what I do is a little bit Frankensteinian in nature, but
why do you at times put your own children in a painting? You know, in the painting The Lord God Made Them All, I notice one of your children are there. In the painting that you've painted about Jesus and the night watch and I'm with you always,
yes.
Night watch, I believe it was, your girl was there as
yes.
well. Why?
Well, you know, there's two big reasons. One smaller reason, it's practical. I mean, the models are readily available, but the big reason is that I want them to be reminded as well of how important these things are, how important it is to recognize heaven as a real place, how important it is to understand that Jesus is looking over them too. And I think they get courage from this just like anyone else would.
How important is heaven to you personally?
Very important. I mean, without heaven to look forward to, you know, what is there to look forward to? I mean, this is really a very short time that we're given on earth. And without that hope, I think it would be pretty sad.
You know, when you look at life, what if there were nothing beyond? What if there were no heaven? We may not have all the answers. Nathan's paintings capture heaven in quite a magnificent view, but yet more marvelous than we can imagine in a painting. More marvelous than we ever conceive with our human mind, God has a plan for heaven. And if there were no heaven, if earth were a dark hole in the ground, if death were a long night without a morning, we would be miserable. We would look at life trying to squeeze out and ease out every bit of pleasure. Death would be the end, and life would be a futile exercise in trying to survive. But the reality of heaven inspires our hearts, encourages our minds, lifts our spirits. Right after the break, I want to come back and explore what the Bible says about heaven. Your heart will be filled with hope and encouragement as we look at these Bible passages on the reality of heaven. The Bible passage that actually inspired The Lion and the Lamb is found in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah here is describing the reality, the concrete reality of the new heavens and the new earth and what heaven is really going to be like. And he says in Isaiah 65, verse 17 and 18, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad, rejoice forever in what I create." Here, Isaiah the prophet is describing heaven. And he points out a fundamental key in understanding heaven. I'm told that in the United States Treasury Building here in the United States, there are 1,800 doors. But one key opens every door. Now, here's the key to open the door of our understanding regarding heaven. Heaven is a real place. God created this world to be inhabited, and He will recreate Edenic splendor on this earth. He will recreate a new heavens and a new earth. Satan has interrupted God's plan, but that interruption will not last forever. So what's heaven going to be like? It will be like God had intended this world to be in the beginning when He created Eden, but even more fantastic than that. The Bible, as it describes heaven, continues, and it tells us about our activities. And it says, verse 21, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. Here God's word says that we're going to build houses and inhabit them. Think of it. You may live in a very small apartment now. You may live in the inner city, in a home in the ghetto, and you may feel, I wish I had a dream home in the country in the hillside. You may live in a middle-class suburb, and you may say, I can't afford my house payments. We're living at a time, particularly in the United States, as many of our international viewers will recognize, where we've gone through a financial crunch, and many people have lost their homes, and there've been home foreclosures. In the new heavens and the new earth, you will have that dream home. The great architects of the ages will be there. All the building materials you'll need will be there. And the Bible says they'll build houses and inhabit them. Why does God say we will build the houses? Because he gives us the creativity, the imagination to build the home we desire. The Bible says they will plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They'll not plant another inhabit. In other words, there'll be nobody to come into our fields, our gardens, tear them apart and rob them then. But the Bible comes to a climax in this idyllic scene, this pastoral scene of beautiful houses and clear running brooks and fields carpeted with living green and flowers of every color and hue blooming. This land where the birds are singing. The Bible comes to the end, and it says in Isaiah 66, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. Here, when the Bible wants to describe heaven, when it comes to that great climax, it talks about a lion and a lamb. And it talks about the lion not reaching his paw out and devouring the lamb, but the lion and the lamb cozying up together and living in peace. All God's children will live in peace there. All God's children will live in harmony there. No more bombs dropping to destroy cities. No more children crying in agony as they've stepped on landmines and their legs blown apart. No more devastating illnesses like cancer, heart disease, AIDS. No more children dying young. No more weeping fathers. No more crying mothers. No more emaciated bodies. There, in that land through all eternity, the lion and the lamb lying down together. There, children gathering with Jesus, sitting on his lap. You say, Mark, that is too good to be true. I can't believe it. It's too good to be true. I say to you today, it's too good not to be true. It's what your heart longs for. It's what your mind dreams about. God's speaking to you today. He has a land for you prepared that is more beautiful, more magnificent, more peaceful than your wildest dreams. Would you like to bow your head right now with me and say, Lord, deep within my heart, I long to be there with you through all eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to think about heaven today. Thank you for this painting that speaks to our hearts, the lion and the lamb, that talks to us about eternity, that talks to us about things that matter most. May our hearts reach out to you right now and grant to us a sense of your presence and your peace, and place within the heart of anyone discouraged today that sense that one day you'll have a new world for them, where they can live with you forever, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for the privilege of being in your studio today, Nathan.
Thank you.
Be sure to join us for our next episode on the Hope Channel of The Master's Brush.